WrestleTalk.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom. Or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull that bus over, I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard!
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Sin Cara, Sin Cara, friendly neighborhood Sin Cara, wears a mask, only fights underneath stupid lights of cow. Here comes a Sin Cara. Can he botch? Listen, jerk, his Huracan runner will never work. Jumps the ropes, that was nice. This match was recorded twice. Look out, there goes a Sin Cara. In the heat of the night, he comes out of the blue, and with all of his might, points his finger at you. Sin Cara, Sin Cara.
With already 30 seconds more entertainment than you got from Hell in the Cell tonight, this is WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We just got done watching Sunday Night Raw, and here with our opinions, the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, the Omega. Joining me is Mace.
Greetings and salutations! I sound way too excited for a person who just watched that crap.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Drugs.
Giving so many false hopes right now.
Yeah, and we'll squash those in a few minutes.
And of course, back from his impression as a chimney, the one and only Tim Stein.
Well, thank you very much for that, Omega. Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, sponsored by Tweaked Audio. Hey, grab a pair, get tweaked. Also, brought to you by PW Mania. We got a lot of people over at PW Mania tuning in tonight. Guys, we got a chat room available. If the chat room is not embedded at PW Mania, then you can find us, get interactive. We pay attention to what you say in the chat room. Just come on over to www.wildtalkradio.com, get into the chat room, and we'll say g'day, mate. Go ahead, Mace, give me shit.
I can't be bothered. My energy has been drained. My mind has been fucked.
Not a shit given tonight.
Exactly. I'm not even going to give you shit for being old or dying of lung cancer or whatever the hell you're going to do with your life today, Tim.
Hey, you know, it's no major secret. People who know me know that I've been smoking for decades, and I'm working on quitting. I've got great news, guys. As far as the quitting thing goes, last night after work when I got home, I had 3 cigarettes all night.
And yet today you probably smoked about 50 of them because, well, you need something to entertain yourself for 3 hours.
No, actually, I fell asleep before Sin Cara fell on the top of his head. Took a nap.
He took his old man nap.
Took the old man nap.
I think we all took an old man nap tonight at some point.
Well, yeah, you know, tonight it wasn't an old man nap. You can't say it was the old man nap because of what we witnessed. Really, seriously.
Indeed, and in that spirit, let's get this shit over with.
Well, let's start off with the first match of the night. Del Rio taking on Randy Orton. Randy Orton coming out with the victory. The match itself, was entertaining enough. It warmed up the crowd, got them hot. I wasn't sure about the finish. Yeah, sure, I understand, you know, the RKO, and that's out of nowhere. It could be landed anywhere, anyhow, anytime. Mace, what did you think of that?
I was not a fan, and they showed it in the replay, and it made it so obvious how everything was done. It was basically Del Rio climbing up to the top rope, spinning around in midair, and falling flat on his face, and Randy Orton just happened to be there to catch his head.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, obviously, we're supposed to understand that the RKO can come out of anywhere, much like the Diamond Cutter, which Randy Orton's been ripping off for fucking years. The difference between DDP doing the Diamond Cutter and Randy Orton doing the RKO is DDP made it look surprising, but it was also natural and it flowed properly, whereas all these setups for the RKO seem very forced and it's, oh, he just happened to be there.
Yeah, it just seems like it's...
It's really contrived, because every time he does it, like, I couldn't tell what the hell Del Rio was doing. Like, okay, you tell me it's a top rope. You know, you tell me he's kicking off the ropes for an enziguri. You know, it looked like a ballerina missed their spot and threw themselves in the air. Because it didn't look good. It didn't look like he was attempting anything for real. It looked exactly what it looked like. It looked like he bounced off the ropes and then laid out flat to take the RKO. You know, whereas DDP would manufacture all the ways he would hit the Diamond Cutter, Orton just seems to luck into these spots.
Yeah, it doesn't have that same feeling of spontaneity that DDP gave us.
It doesn't feel like an actual move. It just feels like something he lucks into every time.
Yeah, yeah. I can agree with what you're saying with this one, yeah. Sometimes, you know, sometimes he pulls it off and boom, it's great. Other times, not so much. And this was one of the other times. Once again, with Orton pulling out the victory, the match itself, right up until that contrived finish, not the best match I've ever seen, but you can't really complain. It was solid.
Well, here comes the WTR drinking game for the night. Take a shot whenever I say this line. They were just going through the motions.
Oh, wait a minute.
And there you go. That's one shot.
I don't drink, so I'm taking a hit on this paint thinner I've got.
Well, we are the part-time alcoholic of this network, Omega. So.
I never said you had to drink alcohol. You could, you know, take a shot of whatever soda pop you got laying around if need be.
Great. Now tell.
No. The paint thinner's nice and tangy.
You know what's scary about this is there's actually video footage of Omega drinking Windex. So when he says he's drinking paint thinner, I believe him.
Yeah, and unlike drinking alcohol, it prevents me from streaking.
Oh, God.
For more great comedy, visit youtube.com/TJOmega.
Yeah, just one question. Where did you find my joke book, Omega?
Oh, I don't know. Some back dusty corner of the library.
Yeah, let's face it, that was bad enough to be one of mine.
I thought you got it at a yard sale. For like a penny.
Goddamn ex-wife. But you're talking about drinking the Windex and stuff like that. Just reminds me of my favorite thing to do in the wintertime up here in Calgary. Grab an empty jug, you know, antifreeze jug. Sterilize the damn thing. Fill it up with green Gatorade. And as soon as the snowstorm hits, run into the local 7-Eleven, yell out, "Man, it's freezing outside!" and start chugging.
That explains a lot.
That doesn't explain a goddamn thing. It's green Gatorade, not antifreeze.
No, it just still explains a lot.
Yeah, right. Okay, so anybody have any extra thoughts or opinions on this opening match?
I'm good.
All right.
Done.
Okay, match number two. Hell no! The tag team champions versus the Road Scholars. And the winners, Road Scholars by DQ. There was no title change. This match was entertaining. I enjoyed it. It had a little bit of almost everything, Omega.
It's, well, you get a really good team like Sandow and Rhodes, and you put them up against Hell No, which are always entertaining to watch. Yeah, you're going to get
champions.
You're going to get something good out of it.
Yeah, it was quite enjoyable. Mace, anything stand out to you in this match?
I just love the way that Kane kept trying to, you know, inspire Daniel Bryan by calling him Goatface. if it's one thing that we can always count on, at least with Kane and Bryan, is that whether they're in a match or whether they're in a backstage segment like we're going to get later on, they will always be entertaining and they will always be a highlight of any show that they're on.
Yes, they right now they're prospecting for gold and pulling up nuggets.
Oh, they're pulling they're pulling up pre-smelted bricks right now is what they are.
Pre-smelted bricks. There you go. Yeah, I mean, yeah, whatever they're doing right now, it doesn't matter what it is they're doing. It's gold and very enjoyable. Are you surprised that the match ended the way that it did?
It was a bit surprising and a bit different, especially because it's DQ finish. Well, how else are we going to get something like that going? But it was sort of, it made you wonder if suddenly something's gone wrong with the team, whether they need to go back into therapy or is this like they pulling the trigger on the breakup way too fucking early?
Well, the whole idea behind the team is that they're still antagonistic to each other. So that's the hard part about this team is that I feel like when they break up, it's going to be because they get along too well. You know, as long as they are still screwing up each other, as long as they are still fighting, the team still works.
He has a point. I agree with Omega. As long as they're dysfunctional, they'll always be a great team. Because that's the charm in the whole thing.
Team hell
hey,
no.
Rock, shut up. I promised people you wouldn't talk.
You promised one person.
Yeah. Team hell no. We put fun in dysfunctional. Yes? No?
Eh.
Apparently, I got the book back from Omega.
Yeah, I read all the jokes already.
Yeah, there you go. Doesn't take long. It's not a thick book.
More like a pamphlet, really.
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of those things. It's easy to handle. You know, you can carry it with you almost everywhere you go. And it's not like you have to edit Wikipedia or anything.
Yeah, okay. Next. Yeah.
Moving on. So fun match. I was surprised by the ending. But they keep the titles, and they live to be dysfunctional another day. Match number three on the night, we have the, the Intercontinental Championship match. Kofi Kingston, the champion, taking on The Miz, who's basically trying to get his title back. Now, this was a good match. These two guys are working really well together, Mace.
They were just going through the motions to me.
Wait a minute, hold it.
For those playing the drinking game along at home, that's two.
Christ, I'm going to...
I'm sorry, this is the same match that we have seen these guys before. You know, we've seen it during the entire feud, pretty much. Good on them for at least attempting to try and break out of their rut, but it was just one of those things of, hey, we're on pay-per-view. We got Raw tomorrow night, right? Yep. Why should we fucking bother?
No, it's more, like this, Mace. Oh, God, we have 2 weeks in Europe. Oh, my God. We have 2 weeks coming up in Europe. Let's take it easy tonight.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I did like how they worked over Miz worked over Kofi's leg during this one.
Yeah, I was actually surprised we saw a lot of body part working in this pay-per-view in general.
Ring psychology, kids. Ring psychology. Mace knows all about it.
Ring what?
What?
Ring what? I haven't heard that term in years.
Sorry? Huh?
Yeah. So, Megan, what did you think of this matchup?
Well, Mace is right. We've kind of seen this match twice already, you know, if you actually bother to tune into Ion Television.
What's Ion Television, for those of us who don't get it, right?
It's where they have main event.
Yeah.
And no one watches.
Yeah, because no one gets it.
Did you notice how they promoted the rating the first week and haven't since? They sent out a big press release over the demographics for the first week, and we haven't heard anything since.
Nothing to brag about. I mean, the debut comes and people watch. The rest of it comes and people find better things to do.
I think the next time you're going to hear of it is going to be on one of those little WWE Did You Know clips after the commercial, and it's just going to say, we have a show on Ion.
Please watch.
That's it. No, but at the very least, if these two are going through the motions, at least they're really good motions. I mean... it might be the same match we saw before, well, with a few extra little twists here and there. But it's still Miz and Kofi. They still worked well together.
Yeah, well, solid. Nothing over the top or anything like that. It was an enjoyable match. If you didn't get a chance to see their first match on Ion TV or the rematch, when was that? Last Monday night on Raw.
It started. The first one was on Raw. The title match was on Ion. This was the rematch.
Okay, there you go. So if you didn't get a chance to see it on Ion, that's pretty much what happened. More or less. I mean, not exactly the same.
Which, if you can find Main Event, do go watch it, because that was actually a pretty solid matchup.
And this time, Miz did not get knocked out completely by Kofi's kick like he did on the episode of Raw.
Yeah, all his teeth are still there.
Yeah, he got, like, legit knocked out for real on Main Event, didn't he?
No, it was on Raw. Follow along, Tim.
I just got it next.
There's that many shows on TV these days from the WWE that nobody can work out what the hell's going on where. For an old man like Tim, it takes him a while to work out which day of the week it is, let alone which show he's watching.
Bastard. Mace. He defend me and then kick me in the nuts in the same shot.
Mace, you said you weren't taking shots at his age tonight, and that lasts about 15 minutes. Just pointing it out.
New record!
That's 10 minutes, goddammit.
All right, 10 minutes.
For Christ's sakes, I'm not old. My mom is old. Jesus, you people. So Kofi Kingston wins, retains the title. Yay!
The wildcat in him is now unleashed or something?
Something like that. I don't know.
Creative to put it down.
He's from, what, Ghana, West Africa? Watch out for people from Ghana, man. They like to scam you.
That's another country.
Nigeria.
Nigeria, but never mind. I'll explain it to you guys later. Up next is the U.S. Championship match. Antonio Cesaro, title holder, taking on Justin Gabriel, the daredevil, the guy who wanted to go skydiving but couldn't because of the hurricane, so he grabbed a board and went surfing instead.
So people have died. Just saying.
In this week's Did You Know fact from WWE, you know, he couldn't go skydiving. Yay.
Yeah, that bricks.
Jesus. So Antonio Cesaro wins and retains the title.
They tried.
You know, the match didn't suck. It was solid. There's that word again. Mace, do I get to take another drink?
They were going through the motions, so take another shot.
Excuse me.
Seriously, this is the exact same match they've had for the past 2 weeks on Raw. Except this time there was a title up for grabs. That was the only difference.
Well, that's one thing I have noticed. I mean, what we saw tonight, basically, we've seen for the last week and a half on quote-unquote free TV.
That's pretty much the majority of the matches that we have on this pay-per-view. It was something that you would have seen on Raw, or you would have seen on SmackDown, or you would have seen on Main Event, or you would have seen on Saturday Morning Slam. No, wait, you wouldn't have seen it on Saturday Morning Slam, because that's actually entertaining from time to time.
When people roll around in balls.
Yeah.
As a ball, I should say.
Daniel Bryan, the angriest little volleyball in wrestling, legitimately now.
If you haven't seen it, you gotta watch it.
He's a mad ball.
Yeah. Find it on YouTube. You have to see Daniel Bryan being pushed around like a ball. It's entertaining.
Okay. So, safe match. Nobody got hurt. Nobody did anything overly spectacular. Omega?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Nothing spectacular about it.
It's almost like everybody on the roster. What the hell is that noise?
I've got to get more thinner out. I'm going to run out at this rate.
You have your paint thinner in an EpiPen or something?
It's like one of those nose inhalers.
Oh, God. I can just see it. It's like, cap, shake, snort. Wow. It's like that guy I went to high school with who had his cocaine in his asthma inhaler.
Anyway.
Seriously.
I like how Cesaro is trying the out-of-nowhere uppercut he'd been adding to his repertoire as of late.
He's been doing that for the last few weeks. It's Antonio Cesaro's version. This is what it feels like to me. His version of Big Show's Knockout Punch.
It's a Mortal Kombat uppercut is what it is.
Death blow.
Well, when the day I hear JR go toasty, I'm just going to die laughing. That'll be the end.
You should tweet that to him.
No, they're missing the obvious here, Mace, is if he tags up with Ryback, and as soon as Ryback yells, finish it, he hits the uppercut.
If he does it three times, does he knock the three separate heads off the body?
One of them have to wear a long hair blonde wig for that to take place?
Jeez. Mace, this requires the return of the scaffold match.
Oh, good lord. Pit stage.
Bada bang, bada boom. Yeah. So,
Omega and I get our references. It's great. We don't know how many other people are getting them, but
yeah, we're just
saying, we're having fun
at this point.
I'm actually proud to say I catch half of them, and I think I'm doing pretty good when I catch half of them. I mean, you guys may be entertaining yourselves with your inside references, but everybody else is saying, what the fuck?
I'm quite sure there's plenty of people out there who get our references.
Keep in mind, Tim, the people listening just watched Hell in the Cell. They've been going, what the fuck, all night.
That was kind of my point, Omega. Moving on, next match. Oh, this is going to be fun. I'm sure people have something to say about this one. As a matter of fact, it was alluded to with Rock's opening intro song. Courtesy of Mace, yes. And we got to make that available to anybody who wants it. We're, of course, talking about Sin Cara teaming up with Rey Mysterio to take on... What are their names? Darren Young and Titus O'Neil?
The Primetime Players.
The Primetime Players. Now, I legit dozed off halfway through this match, guys, so I can't really talk about it.
It was basically the same type of deal that you've seen in the past few weeks with any Rey Mysterio Sin Cara match. High-flying moves, lots of quickness, and people just taking bumps for them. Until Sin Cara decides to drop himself on his head.
Which means...
They're just going through the motions?
God, that took a lot for you to get him to get there, Omega.
God, I needed my medicine.
So, can you for my edification, explain to me exactly what happened where Sin Cara lands up on his head?
Basically, Sin Cara was going for almost like a flipping reverse DDT type deal, and... he got his head caught in the shoulder of
Titus.
Titus. I don't know, it was one of them. They both look almost the fucking same.
One has an arrow, one does not.
Yeah, the bald one. He got his head caught, couldn't get out in time, and basically landed straight on top of the damn thing.
Damn,
he knocked himself loopy. That's all that really happened.
Wonder how long it's going to be before that's on YouTube.
Give it about half an hour.
Maximum, probably.
It'll be in the next Botchamania, which should be out in a week.
And so I'm afraid to ask Mace this question. So, Omega, what'd you think of the match?
It was extremely reminiscent of past performances.
I just want to let everybody know, anybody who's been tuned in for the first time here, we don't typically bash just because it's cool to bash. If we're criticizing, if we're being harshly critical on something, there's a really good reason for it. I mean, and when somebody does good, we do praise them. I mean, you should have, if you haven't, it didn't hear our show last week after TNA. Was that last week or the week before? Last week.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. If you didn't catch our TNA pay-per-view review show, then I suggest you tune in and listen to that. Believe it or not, we're not TNA fanboys, and we're not WWE fanboys. I just want to clarify for people who haven't heard us do our thing before.
Right, and we're not bashing the pay-per-view. Actually, we're saying they had solid matches so far.
Yeah, I mean it wasn't a complete screw up. I mean, the only real screw up was Sin Cara. But on that note, why don't we take our first break of the evening, come back and dissect the rest of the pay per view. Everybody listen to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, sponsored by Tweaked Audio. Grab a pair, get tweaked. We'll be back right after this.
Sounds like we're going through the motions.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix gone off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait and made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Every Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network gets a little bit more impactful with The Rack, bringing you the most in-depth coverage of TNA's Impact Wrestling, which includes all of our favorite stars, such as Chavo Guerrero, Zema Ion, Brooke Tessmacher, Ruby E.
Wait, who wrote this? No. I'm changing this.
We'll talk all about my favorite stars of Impact Wrestling, including Christopher Daniels, James Storm, Samoa Joe, Joseph Parks, Austin Aries, and more. It's The Rack, Thursday night, live 11 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
No Rack, named after some breath. That's awesome.
Hey, you.
Yes, you listening to WTR. You got an iPod, MP3 player, or some kind of Android device? Well, then why don't you go and get Tweaked? Tweaked Audio is high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds for simply awesome audio. There's four styles and six colors to choose from, so Tweaked Audio has a pair for everyone. You'll love the intense sound of all the Tweaked Audio products. They guarantee it. In fact, you get a lifetime limited warranty with all the shit they sell. Designed to sound great for music and talk, engineered for durability. Get your buds in red, blue, green, black, silver, or wood. Okay, that's not really a color, but they look pretty sweet. Four styles to choose from. Tweaked California, Tweaked Classic, Tweaked Parkour, and Tweaked Natural. Tweaked Audio earbuds retail from $19.95 to $34.95, but they're giving WTR listeners a deal. Because Wild Talk Radio rules and our fans rock. Just use the special code WILDTALK or WTR. Get your buds starting at only $12.95. Head on over to tweakedaudio.com. Grab a pair. Get tweaked. Tweaked Audio.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is X-Fox. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
In a broken dream, look in my eyes, what do
the cult of personality.
And welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, brought to you by Tweak Audio and PW Mania. As we wait for Tim to get back from having another fucking smoke, I guess we can try and continue first.
It's like started talking, and right when I was about to say something, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, you took too fucking long.
He was going through the motions.
Mace, put down the coffee. All right, yeah, well, like you said, hey Mace, one word for you: football.
Football.
There you go.
So, Rock, who won?
So we have Sheamus versus the Big Show for the World Heavyweight Title next.
Yeah, we do. But before we even start talking about that, I just want to say collectively, I'm sure you guys are with me on this one. Best wishes to Lillian Garcia, who got hit by a car on Friday night.
Yeah.
She's released from hospital. She's fine.
She's in a cervical collar. You know, it's a neck brace. She's got a bunch of contusions, meaning she's all scratched up and scraped up, and that's pretty much the worst of it. And she'll be getting a couple of weeks off before she comes back. But, you know, best wishes for a speedy recovery. One thing that I did appreciate tonight with the commentary table, guys, the amount of shots that JBL was delivering to Michael Cole.
It's nothing new.
Yeah.
No, it's not, but...
The new things was JBL taking shots at Oklahoma. Well, JR's sitting a couple of seats away from him.
Yeah. Did any of you guys see that video that was circulating around the internet late last week? JBL grabbing the mic and giving the ring crew real time while they were setting up?
Yes.
Oh, that was priceless. And a couple of people looking at these forum boards and stuff like that, people are yapping, oh, those guys look legitimate pissed off. Are you kidding? They're biting their tongues to keep from laughing their asses off while they're setting up the goddamn ring.
Yes, WWE put that footage out. It's probably still on WWE.com as we speak.
It was funny.
It really was.
It was. All right, so we've got match number 6 is the World Heavyweight Championship title match. The champion, Sheamus, taking on the Big Show. And it was a good match back and forth, and the whole idea with this one, what was going to triumph? Was it going to be the knockout punch or the brogue kick? Well, they both got a chance to land them a couple of times, at least in Big Show's case. Wow, Big Show winds up winning with a well-placed knockout punch to win the World Heavyweight Championship title. Omega?
Yeah, quite surprised. I mean, I really thought they were going to go with Sheamus for as long as they possibly could, and I guess they kind of did at this point. But, you know, I didn't call Big Show to win this, because, well, when's the last time Big Show actually won a world title and held it?
It's the keyword, held it.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, there's only one person who picked Big Show to win, and it wasn't you, Mace.
Yeah, I'm not going to say who it is either. Because, you know, I don't like giving sound clips like that. But I'll be honest with you, this match sucked.
You didn't like it?
No.
Wow.
This would have been the type of... This is the prime example of I could have seen this on SmackDown and given the same reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously, they were showing reactions of kids in the crowd with their head in their hands and eyes wide open. That wasn't disbelief. That wasn't, you know, them going, oh my God, Sheamus lost. That was, oh my God, I'm bored. Can I go home, Mum?
Any disagreements with what Mace just said, Omega?
Well, I didn't mind the match as much as he did. I mean, you got someone as big as Big Show. The match is only going to be so quick, so fast, so good. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have any. I didn't have any problem with the way it was paced. I mean, you had two big power hitters, you know, teasing their big power moves the whole match, and you know that's the whole point of something like this. Throw everything at each other, build the suspense for the big moves you've been building up, and when they finally hit and don't work, that's what builds the excitement for the finish.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so for me that kind of worked.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you guys, as far as, you know, somebody's teasing their big finishing move, whatever it is there one that sticks in your head from any pay-per-view over the last, say, oh, I don't know, 12 years that was done well?
Hey, causing us to do that thinking thing, which we don't like to do on pay-per-view nights.
You don't like to do that thinking thing on any Sunday nights. Who are you kidding?
Shawn Michaels did it a lot, really well.
Uh-huh.
Because Sweet Chin Music had that warm-up step that gave everyone a warning, got the crowd fired up, and gave the opponent a chance to go, oh, shit, and dart out the ring.
Yeah.
You know, right. And then when he finally did manage to hit it, it came out of nowhere and it didn't look forced, Randy.
Shot. There is one that sticks in my mind, and it's just stuck in my mind over top of every other tease that they've ever pulled. And you know, with 13 pay-per-views a year, there's a lot of teases. From a lot of different people, but it was Goldberg was still working WWE, and he was in that program with Jericho, and the whole build-up was, will Jericho take the spear? Mm-hmm. And it was all, you know, the hype leading up to the pay-per-view was great on TV, and then you finally get to the pay-per-view, and Goldberg tries to launch that spear at him three times before he finally gets him. This was, by the way, like immediately after Jericho beat down Goldberg in the back room, that Jericho doesn't make a big deal out of it.
You're talking Bad Blood 2003?
I do believe that's what it was, yeah, 9 years ago.
Say, I could throw out some old school references.
Yeah, you're just old.
No.
It doesn't work when you're old.
No, I'm actually young on this call, just saying.
Yeah, you're not the youngest on the call.
Yeah, I am.
No, I think Omega's younger than you.
No.
Well, okay, fine. How old are you?
I am 28.
Really? Omega, how old are you?
29.
What, you bastard. You had to be a year older than him, didn't you?
I'm sorry.
Because Mace
is
like...
If I knew it would fuck today up, I'd have told my mom and dad to fuck a little later.
Do you have to be so... Like, do you have to say it so crudely?
Fuck yes.
Wow. I mean, you've got such a potty mouth. You know,
This is not a fucking PG show, Tim.
Okay.
Are you running for Senate? Do we need to change this show just to make sure that your political opponents don't have a go at you? Fuck no, so fuck off.
You gotta go back in the history of WTR and edit out all the swearing and all of the racism and everything else like that.
Oh, just shit, every show's gonna be 2 minutes.
Yeah, I'm running for councilman here in Calgary, so, you know, got to clean up my past.
That's going to take a long, long time.
Yeah, we don't have that much time. So just a reminder to everybody listening that whenever we do a pay-per-view, we do pick 'em. And for those of you who don't know what that is, there's a few people tuned in tonight, I'm sure, who haven't quite got it, what we're talking about. The week before any pay-per-view, WWE or TNA, we try to pick the winners of the matches that are listed, and we get you to play along. And we got a guy that actually does an XLS spreadsheet, the whole bit, keeps track of the winners and the losers and stuff. And it's really simple. You just tell us, who do you think is going to win that match? Now, anybody can play along. Doesn't cost you a goddamn thing. And if you decide that it's not for you, you can just turn it into coleslaw and get rid of it and let it collect dust. But, hey, at the end of the year, you might win something. You never know. All you got to do is send in your picks once we get started playing Pick'em to media@wildtalkradio.com, and we'll include you
in the listeners category, along with Brent, Amy, Chris Pierce, Jason, just to name a few. Somebody named Alan who plays when he's not having a hissy fit. Stuff like that. Am I going to be in trouble for that one, Rock?
No.
Okay. Double checking.
Yeah. So we are not giving out that prize, Trevasi. We're not giving out that prize.
What's that?
Read what he wrote in the chat room. That's not a prize.
No. Forget it. God damn you, Les. That's who True Ozzy is. I just gave it away. Ozzy, oi, oi. Represent. Yeah. Well, no, you will never, ever get that picture, so forget it.
unless you bribe his ex-wife.
Unless you really, really want it.
Not even then. No. That picture doesn't exist and never will exist. Not going to happen. So forget it. But, hey, you never know. You could, like, we had a winner that won Booker T's biography in ebook format. Right, Rock?
Yes, and we've also given away a hard copy of the book as well.
Yeah, and
we've
also given
away comic books as well.
Yes, we have. So when we have stuff to give out, we give it to you, the loyal fans.
That's right. Yeah, we're going to make sure that when we do have prizes to dole out, that they will come from Rock. And let's not elaborate on why I said that. But my point is, those of you listening, we would like you to play along with us and see if you can predict the winners just as well as or better than anybody else. And once again, all you got to do is email your picks to media@wildtalkradio.com. And it's really simple. This starts the Sunday before the next pay-per-view. Once again, TNA or WWE, doesn't matter. And it goes for the entire week's worth of programming. Right up until CB Radio on Saturday nights around midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes, we do picks on there.
Yes.
And in the meantime, if you decide to come over to wildtalkradio.com, please jump into the chat room found via the live link and participate in the chat room because we need more people to talk to.
Yes, we want to interact with you because that's what we kind of do around here. It's interactive. We like to talk to you, the people out there. Going back to this matchup, Sheamus got the holy hell beaten into him by Big Show. Did you see his chest?
Ooh, Sheamus's?
Yeah, he was all red.
He was blotchy.
But,
get that boy out of the sunlight.
that's just it. That's with Sheamus in the ring getting chopped and everything else like that, it looks worse than it really is because the boy has absolutely no pigment in his skin. None. So no, naturally...
Pretty soon, when he becomes like the top guy in the WWE someday, you WWE video games are going to have to include some kind of damage system just for him.
A special damage system.
Right. It's like Mortal Kombat, where it's like you beat him enough, you start seeing blood, you start seeing ripped clothes. No, on Sheamus, you just start seeing welts.
Because, yeah, you can't really much see anything else. But the welts, they really, really stand out on him. So,
It works in a way. It's like a special effect. You know, you can see the damage he's taken during the match, and it makes it a little bit better in a way. We can't have blood, but we can have massive contusions.
So, yeah, that works perfectly. What they should do for a damage meter is just have like a graphic of Sheamus. From the abdomen up.
Like they used to do in the WWE video games, where they show body part damage.
Yeah, and then as he's taking damage, these welts just appear, and then they grow and get bigger until they finally explode and stuff.
That'd be interesting,
I don't know.
The one thing that was surprising, because we all talked about it last week when we did make our picks during the pick-up, that there was no cash-in.
That's because Big Show was still standing. I'm sorry, as long as that guy was vertical, you knew that there was no way in hell that Ziggler was going to cash in. If somehow, it hadn't done as much damage, like the knockout punch hadn't done as much damage to Sheamus, he came back and broad-kicked him or something, then we'd see a cash in.
Yeah.
But because Big Show was still upstanding and he still had enough brain function that he could at least stumble out of the ring, Ziggler wouldn't attempt it unless he had a forklift.
Now, almost everybody, for the bonus question, I'm just taking a look at it. There are just a couple of people who said that there wouldn't be any cashing in. Let's see. Omega, Mace, Rock, Brent, Amy, and Jason all predicted that there would be a cashing in of the contract, Money in the Bank contract. And I am one of the ones that said, nah, it wasn't going to happen, so haha.
Well, that was a tiebreaker, so that pick really didn't matter to him.
Well, hey, it might matter, because as soon as we're finished with this, we're going to let you know who won and by how many points with this latest pick'em. So there.
I understand that, but anyway, continue.
Anyway, why don't we talk about women wrestling?
How about we don't?
Well, we kind of sort of have to.
Okay, but... okay, hold on. I'll recap this one nice and quick for us. This was a three-way women's match, which means they used every woman on the roster. Eve won, nobody gave a shit, let's move on.
God damn it, that's what I was building up towards, and just kind of sort of like blew that one right out of the water, didn't you? That was the funniest
because
thing.
Because I do it better.
It was the funniest thing I read that you wrote in the chat while we were watching the pay-per-view. Oh, it's a three-way divas, so they're using the entire female roster.
Indeed. Way to reiterate my joke. Let's move on.
That's
anyway,
what he does.
Eve winds up winning and retaining, and it was a women's match in WWE, enough said. Let's take a look at the main event. That's right. Ryback versus WWE champion CM Punk. And
this started out easily looking like the blind man being led out to his execution.
By the way, we should mention that Paul Heyman throughout the night was awesome.
Heyman was a goddamn boss.
Paul Heyman was the best part of this match. But of course, you know, what exactly am I saying when I'm saying that? It's Paul freaking Heyman.
At least he wasn't going through the motions.
No, Paul was definitely not going through the motions in this one.
Okay, wait a minute, I'm confused. Does that qualify as taking?
I mentioned the phrase, so yes, take a shot.
Okay, hang on a second. God damn, I'm getting tipsy.
The paint thinner wearing on you.
One more, I can almost hear the colors.
Oh, now you know you're fucked up when you hear colors. But yeah, the match itself, it was pretty much what everybody expected. The thing that made me kind of grin a little bit was remembering last week when we were doing Pick'em, everybody's trying to figure out how they were going to keep the belt on CM Punk and not make Ryback lose any steam or momentum.
Yeah, when none of us picked this type of ending.
This was probably...
We picked stuff that A, made sense, B, would have been entertaining, and C, people would have liked to have seen.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this was probably the only finish that nobody even came close to predicting. I mean, Omega, you had a forklift block on the door to keep him from coming out?
I had a goddamn genius solution.
No, you did. You absolutely did. And those of you listening, if you missed it, you've got to hear what this guy came up with for booking the main event. You can find it in the archives on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You've got to check it out. I do believe I said I had Brock Lesnar coming out. What did you have, Mace?
I had Brock Lesnar coming out in place of the forklift.
Same IQ level. I remember that joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I forget. Rock, did you figure something out for this?
No, I didn't put it, I didn't partake in that.
Okay, what about Lindsay? Did she have something for that? I don't know.
You don't listen to the Rack, so anyway.
Well, I do when I'm home sometimes.
Which is quite surprising considering that there's been instances of 32 plus thousand people.
Oh, no, Mace, you're completely wrong. You're off by about 70,000 over the last two shows. And here's something that we can brag about. We've had more people download the last two episodes of The Rack on Thursday nights at 11 Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network than we're in attendance at tonight's WWE pay-per-view. Just for the last week. You would need to take the crowd from tonight and multiply them by six just to get the downloads the Rack had from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had reports that there was around 10,000 people in the building tonight.
Yeah, 10,000 people at the pay-per-view, and
Oh, Christ. The show this past Thursday night had 10,000 downloads by Saturday night, like by last night.
Yeah. So, anyway, as we're bragging about the show,
there's every reason to be bragging about that show, because, like, good on you, Lindsay. Just don't let it go to your head. Getting back to the pay-per-view. It was referee that was obviously bought off by Paul Heyman and CM Punk, who delivers the low blow to Ryback right before Ryback is able to complete his finisher on CM Punk. But I don't think they did a bad job at all for this main event. I think it was better than what we were afraid it was going to wind up being, Omega. He's thinking about it.
He's trying to find a way to put it all in words.
God damn you, Nick Patrick. You start all this.
And now, yeah, it's gone from Nick Patrick to Earl Hebner, and now we have Brad Maddox?
At least that's Brad. What we're being told, but sure.
That's his name, I think. I believe that's his name that they were putting out there.
You see him come. It'd be hilarious if he actually did come out to matches in, like, a CM Punk matched yellow and black referee stripes. His official referee for his matches.
They can use the Steelers uniforms. They were ugly. They were black and yellow with stripes.
The yellow and black stripes, wasn't that, that has been used in wrestling, but was it CZW that used to use referees that had that color scheme?
I just watched a Botchamania video.
That's what I mean. I've seen it in Botchamania videos. So, yeah, we're getting confirmation.
Botchamania.
CZW.
Jesus.
Jesus!
But yeah, that would be funny. He had his own personal referee. And he might do that. That fit would fit.
Sure, why not? Or it could just be that Paul Heyman just paid him off for the one night. Either way, it works.
That's the whole thing about this.
Like, the entire finish did exactly what it was supposed to do. Sure, it wasn't the best. Like, believe me, as we've already mentioned, we've booked plenty of better scenarios. And I'm surprised that they didn't listen to us, which is quite odd.
Because they usually
make
do.
Make sure you turn the volume up on the Justin TV player, okay? We want to make sure you hear this properly. But this all did exactly what it was. It kept Ryback strong all the way through the match, even to the point where I was starting to look at it and going, Punk better get a comeback sooner, or else this is just going to be a squash. This is going to be them burying the champion. But the way they've done it, Punk still gets to keep a hold of the belt. Sure, it means we're going to see this match again, probably on pay-per-view at some point. But at the same time, given the way that Ryback went after the match, you know, killing the referee, getting revenge on Punk, and I swear to God that thing was made out of extra strength steel tonight. to hold up Ryback, who's holding up Punk for his little... Samoan drop shoulder breaker thing.
Shell shocked.
Torture rack drop.
Torture rack.
Lex Luke would be proud. but in the end, Ryback still looks strong coming out of this, and Punk keeps the title. It's actually giving people what they want.
And you know what's going to happen on Raw is, okay, Paul Heyman paid off a ref, quick count, all that. They're going to nullify the match, and he'll stay undefeated.
Which is fine.
It gets them out of the mess they booked themselves into, and give them credit, they found a way out of it.
Exactly. That's the thing. I give them credit for getting out of this corner that they painted themselves into. Sure, it wasn't the best way to do it, but they got out of it, so kudos to them. We just found something positive to say about this pay-per-view.
I know, right?
Omega, is your paint thinner leaking? Because I think we're all getting high on the fumes.
Why is Snuffleupagus talking to me?
I like...
Because Bird told him to go away.
That explains the pigeons.
I liked it throughout the match. Paul Heyman was screaming, "He's a human being!"
At one point, did Ryback turn around, look at him, and go, "You're next"?
I don't know. I must have missed that.
Like, Ryback yelled something at Heyman that made him shit his pants, and I don't know what it was, but I, for a second there, I thought he said, "You're next."
But yeah, Paul Heyman is great for CM Punk. And he made the match more entertaining. And guess what? The match itself wasn't half bad.
It was alright.
It won't go down as the greatest Hell in a Cell we've ever seen, but...
This was the safest Hell in a Cell I've ever seen. With the exception of, like, two dives done by CM Punk, that's it.
Yeah.
This is the safest.
Considering you had Ryback, of all people, in this match, why was this the tamest Hell in a Cell I've ever seen?
Because, essentially, despite the push and that the character has gotten, the man who plays Ryback is still a green rookie. The guy hasn't even been in the company for 2 years as an active competitor.
Yeah, and at that point they gave Alberto Del Rio world title.
Yes, but Alberto Del Rio came from an extensive wrestling background back in Mexico, whereas, well, Skip Sheffield, as he first was known, was still very much trained within the WWE system for the whole NXT thing. Sure, he had, like, experience in Ohio, but, you know, Ohio experience doesn't mean shit.
Boy, these people are fast at doing things. They edit Wikipedia pages really, really fast.
Wow.
Apparently, Brad Maddox died tonight. If you look at the picture. Apparently he died.
Wow. I didn't even realize that he was Beef Wellington. That was actually quite an amusing character.
Was Maddox actually stating that he was actually killed by WWE Hell in a Cell?
Yeah, it died October 28, 2012 at WWE Hell in a Cell.
No, from WWE Hell in a Cell. Like, just took one look at that finish, went, "Are you fucking shitting?" Boom, aneurysm, dead.
Hey, that's what happens when you get angry. Kill the ref. Just kill the ref. It's okay.
Not that I'm making fun of that. I apologize to anyone out there who has died of an aneurysm.
I almost did, but it was not exactly an aneurysm, so I don't know if that counts.
No, I'm only apologizing to the dead people.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind.
I don't want zombies writing letters.
Yeah, I didn't take offense anyway, so it doesn't matter.
And as Christopher Daniel says, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true.
Well, we're on the internet, so...
We must be true.
We must be true.
Sweet. I always wanted to be true.
So that was the matchup. CM Punk retained via the Atlanta Screwjob.
The Atlanta Screwjob.
Yeah. Well, it was in Atlanta, so, you know.
Well, at least it wasn't a taser gun with fake sound effects added.
Yeah. No Scott Hall or Disco Inferno in this one.
What, that makes it more legit?
No, but it would have made it more funny.
It would prove that Scott Hall's still alive.
Oh.
Not passed out in the gutter drunk somewhere.
Don't let Kevin Nash hear you talk about his buddy Scott like that.
Oh, please. We're not Kayfabe Radio. He's not going to do a boring interview with us.
There's always proof that Scott Hall is alive. All you have to do is check his bar tab.
True.
It's like one of those billboards where, like, the national alcohol debt. Just keep climbing.
Oh, like, is there anybody you don't pick on, you guys?
No, everybody's fair game.
See, that just shows that there's a lack of bias with us. I think that's a good thing.
We're equal opportunity haters. We hate everybody equally.
There you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, have you guys, because I had to go and answer a very important telephone call, did you guys get to the pick'em winners yet?
No, we're saving that for you.
All right. Well, why don't we discover who won tonight?
Indeed. Let's go.
Well, congratulations to Amy, who basically is the winning listener, coming in with 4 out of 7 correct answers. Congratulations, Jersey Girl. Everybody say congratulations, Amy.
Huzzah.
How did she have...
You win, we don't know.
Yeah, well, whatever it is you win, Amy, it's in the mail. Oh, I'm going to be in so much trouble.
And Tim's sending it, so it might not... Calgary. Might not be there in the next 20 years.
Yeah, it's coming from Calgary, so sorry, you're SOL. I don't want to say who won overall, Mace. I don't want to say who won overall.
Really?
Yeah, because it just goes to you talking about, you know, clips and stuff.
She's 4-2. I was wondering, how did she get 7? There was only 6 matches picked. She's 4-2.
No, she's 4-3, according to this sheet.
But...
One match does not count. We do not count the Rey Mysterio debacle because that wasn't officially announced.
Correct.
Kane Kitten screwed up, and he's owning up to it in the chat room. So she went 4-2. The fact of the matter is, she got 4 right. And I don't want to tell you who got 5 right. Because I'm not giving him the ammunition for a sound clip. Forget it. Are you joking?
Why, payback's a bitch, Tim.
Tell me about it.
Pay it back. I heard the clip that you took on that so-called hockey show.
I don't
where
know
where you talked about the lockout.
I don't know what you're talking about, clips.
I know exactly. I know what I heard. I was one of the only people listening to the hockey show.
I don't know what you're talking about. Hey, and you know, for no advertising, we had 14 people tune in for something that was pretty much a spur-of-the-moment decision to actually
Look,
go ahead.
You opening 13 windows doesn't mean that there are 14 people listening, okay?
I can't open 13 windows. It'll fuck up my computer.
Anyway, I had 5, correct?
Yeah, there you go. He told you who it was, but I'm not going to say something. So there you go, Rock.
Tim had 1.
Yeah, this time I sucked.
Mace got 3 right, and Omega coming in dead last with 0 correct.
Yes!
You see, at least I'm not dead last. Sorry, Omega.
How the hell did Omega end up getting 0?
Because I picked logically, and then there was WWE night.
Lindsay was 3-3.
So she was like batting 500.
Yep.
Yeah, which is really good if you have a hockey power play and it's at 500.
Let's see. Omega picked Del Rio, who lost. He picked The Miz, who lost. He picked
Rock. I think we know what 0 means.
If you only picked a winner, you in the main event, you might have won.
Yeah, but I honestly thought they wouldn't go through the match.
No, he legitimately figured that they were going to walk right back in the locker room.
I didn't know how, but I figured this in my head. Like, I wasn't thinking, you know, fake referee, you know, all that. I wasn't thinking that option. In my head, it was like, if they ring the bell in this match, it's done. One or the other is going away.
So, yeah, congratulations to Amy, who's Jersey Girl in the chat room. And once again, everybody, we want all of you to play along when we do pick them. Once again, it starts the Sunday before, like 1 week before the pay-per-view on Sunday right here on Wrestle Talk Radio. And all you got to do in the chat room or via email, let us know who you think's going to win all of the matches that are listed. And it goes right on. Everybody's got a chance to pick them right through until the Saturday before every pay-per-view. Once again, the email address is media@wildtalkradio.com.
So basically, for our next pay-per-view coming up, which will be TNA's Turning Point, which is November 11th,
yep.
We will be making the predictions on November 4th. So that would be next week's show.
Really? Yeah. Like, we're already there? Jesus.
We're there already with that part. Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be predicting the pay-per-view on next week's show. So let's hope TNA actually has some matches done by then.
Yeah.
They got one so far, so we're getting there.
So they've only got, what, seven more to, or six more to put together?
Something along those lines.
So that means that they'll have three put together by Thursday night.
I wouldn't count on that.
You don't think they're going to have that many set up?
No. Maybe two. I'll give them two.
Okay, so I guess it's time that we do a little something called Roundtable, hey, Rock?
Should we go to break?
Or would you rather go to break before we do Roundtable?
Let's go to break, because this wraps up the pay-per-view portion of the show. Then we'll do our Roundtable and finish off the rest of the show.
Fine. Okay, we're going to go to break.
Hey, Omega, do you like how we're always included in these decisions?
Yeah. Makes me feel like part of the team.
Hey, Omega, do you think we should take a break? Yeah? Okay, Mace, do you think we should go to break?
Hold on. All right, hold on. Omega, what? Send us to break.
Paint thinner. Leaving. Bye.
Everybody, don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this.
Meat on the table, yeah, that's what you are. Yeah, you can run, but you won't get too far.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. I mean, it's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement, we get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. He stayed with her every night, constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up, because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Hawk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
For this election year, Jed and myself have decided that you should ignore all the other candidates and instead vote for the two people who will actually bring change to this country. Not only will we bring change, we're bringing hashtags with us, starting with hashtag BS2012.
Boobies.
Hashtag thin the herd.
Boobies.
Hashtag smash the snow globe.
Boobies.
Wait, are you guys talking about my boobies again?
Boobies!
Damn it, Jed, you blew our cover!
I meant babies!
Sure you did.
In this election year, vote Barry Schaefer 2012 and hear us every Wednesday night on Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 Central, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Boobies!
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWmania.com.
Hey, you.
Yes, you listening to WTR. You got an iPod, MP3 player, or some kind of Android device? Well, then why don't you go and get Tweaked? Tweaked Audio is high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds for simply awesome audio. There's four styles and six colors to choose from, so Tweaked Audio has a pair for everyone. You'll love the intense sound of all the Tweaked Audio products. They guarantee it. In fact, you get a lifetime limited warranty with all the shit they sell. Designed to sound great for music and talk, engineered for durability. Get your buds in red, blue, green, black, silver, or wood. Okay, that's not really a color, but they look pretty f***ing sweet. Four styles to choose from. Tweaked California, Tweaked Classic, Tweaked Parkour, and Tweaked Natural. Tweaked Audio earbuds retail from $19.95 to $34.95, but they're giving WTR listeners a deal. Because Wild Talk Radio rules and our fans rock. Just use the special code WILDTALK or WTR. Get your buds starting at only $12.95. Head on over to tweakedaudio.com. Grab a pair. Get tweaked. Tweaked Audio.
You're listening to five times NWA World Heavyweight Champion, the Scrap Daddy himself, Scrap Arnett Pierce, and this is the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
I don't know if anybody can hear me or not. Welcome back to WTR, Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Rock, yeah. You insensitive fuck.
I was just about to say, that music's kind of appropriate, isn't it, Omega?
No!
Why? Are you
wildly
swimming?
Inappropriate.
How?
Are you tied to a flagpole? Are you tied to a flagpole to keep from being blown away?
Hey, Omega, I'm no. The one who's going to have to deal with the hurricane. Remember this.
Oh. Boo-hoo. Boo-hoo. Boo. You have to deal with a Cat 1 hurricane. Boo-hoo.
It's the end of the world. Don't you know this?
No, it's not. That's December 21st.
Which we'll be having a 3-hour special starting at 9 p.m. Eastern on Johnny Cashmere's Wake Up Call right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That's a freak-out show. It gets really wild. That was one weird Australian he was interviewing on Friday Night Rock.
Yeah, there's no words to describe what that dude was saying.
Oh, man, it was out there. I mean, he's talking about, I don't even know how to describe this, what he was talking about. But the Wake Up Call with Johnny Cashmere, it's not a wrestling show, guys. It's not a wrestling program. If you're familiar with Coast to Coast Overnight, then you'll get an idea. But Johnny lets it get a little bit weirder from there. As a matter of fact, this Friday night, Phil Coppins from Ancient Aliens is going to be on the program. Johnny's going to be talking to him. And tell me, you know what Ancient Aliens is?
They would be old aliens. So your ancestors?
Oh, yeah, they're my brothers and sisters, wise ass. No! It's a program
he admits it! Finally!
That was sarcasm.
And
jackass.
Clip, and clip, and clip, and clip.
You bastard. Oh, you collect a bunch of pricks. Anyway, in case you're not familiar with Ancient Aliens on the History Channel, they talk to these guys with really strange-looking hairdos, and they break down ancient Earth mythologies and say the pyramids were built by aliens, Jesus Christ came from another planet, shit like that. It gets kind of freaky and funky. You've got to tune in Friday night at 9 o'clock Eastern. You got to hear this to believe it. Seriously. That being said,
enough with the plugs. Why don't we get into our roundtable discussion, or do you want to put a grade to the pay-per-view?
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
So I guess we're not grading the pay-per-view. All right, what's the roundtable question tonight, Rock?
Who is the most overrated superstar of the Attitude Era?
Oh, my God. The most overrated superstar from the Attitude Era, Mace?
I'm going to come straight out and say it. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah, what a surprise. I come out with something that's going to be controversial as fuck.
Holy, okay, back it up.
All right. Basically, take a look at the way Stone Cold Steve Austin was booked. He won the... If he was going up for the title, he always won it. If he had the title, he always defended it. Always the main event on the pay-per-view, always the guy who was the focus of the company for 90% of the time. It wasn't until the end of the Attitude Era where you finally got to see guys like Triple H and The Rock and everybody else start to step up and take a spotlight. However, during the main point and focus of the Attitude Era, it was Stone Cold Steve Austin all the time. Basically, he was the John Cena of the Attitude Era. Wow. He was booked the exact same way, and yet everybody seemed to love him for it. Why? Because he was cussing, he was drinking, and he was beating the shit out of his boss instead of being a goody two-shoes. That's the only difference between the two. Same booking style, just different personalities. Everybody seems to regard Stone Cold as the be-all, end-all, the best of the best, the top of the crop, but frankly, he's shit. His promos are the same as they ever were. Just take a look at the recent interview between CM Punk, Stone Cold, and JR for the WWE 13 game. Stone Cold's still trying to do everything angry instead of actually thinking about it, because Steve Austin as a man has quite a brain behind him. But as a character, he's a fucking retard. Oops, I said that word that gets me into trouble again.
Mace, go sit in the corner for 30 seconds.
Okay.
Time out, Mace. 30 seconds. Okay. So does that mean we got to go to Omega now, Rock?
30 seconds has passed. Mace, continue.
Okay, there you go.
Basically, it's Stone Cold is overrated. He never really revolutionized anything. He was just right place, right time, and things just happened to click for him. He didn't go out and cause any of this to happen. He went out and just was lucky enough to get the spot at King of the Ring, was lucky enough to be selected as the winner of the King of the Ring, and said, "Here's a mic, say something." And all of a sudden, people caught wind of what he was saying, what he was doing. And it took off. But yet, people make him out to be this almost Jesus-like character of the Attitude Era. That he was the guy that he could do no wrong, that, you know, he was the most creative man on the planet. He wasn't. He was still the standardized wrestling pawn. He still had a bunch of writers writing his scripts, telling him how to... You know, giving him points on you say this, you do that. Stone Cold was manufactured just like every other wrestling character that's been put through the WWE ringer in the past 30 plus years.
Wow, okay.
It's just that he had a better covering than most people that we see today.
Okay,
feel free to rag on me as you must.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, the most overrated Attitude Era star in the WWE, according to Mace. Omega.
You break it down into terms like that, you could fault any star in history at any point in wrestling ever.
Bingo.
If you're just gonna mark them down as well, they're manufactured, so they're really not worth anything. Well, that's everyone. You know, why would you even be a fan if you looked upon everyone like that? You know, there has to be some standout. There has to be some reason you watch. There has to be some level of entertainment here that sets them apart. You know, I wouldn't say Stone Cold, because, you know, the guy had a level of charisma and audience reach that elevated the business. I mean, it made WWF what it was in the Attitude Era. You know, that was the attitude they marketed so heavily. I mean, you can't be overrated if you're fucking delivering on it. Also, why the hell didn't you say The Rock? You completely threw my expectations off.
Here's the thing. I actually did think of The Rock initially. The only reason why I did not go with The Rock is that he was a mid-card for 90% of the Attitude Era. It wasn't till near the end where his star started to rise and he started to become The Rock that we all see on television today. During the main part of the Attitude Era, he was the heel version. He was the guy who was just a part of the Nation. He didn't start taking that step out and creating himself until late in the era.
He started creating himself in 98. That's the Attitude Era right there. 98, 99.
Okay, 98, 99 is what I consider the peak of the Attitude Era.
Okay, that's your definition.
He didn't start really taking off. He didn't start getting into the main event scene until late 99 through 2002.
He main evented WrestleMania.
So as they were starting to move away from the Attitude Era and maneuvering into whatever the hell they called the 2000 pre-PG shit.
Anyway, to give Omega, you know, someone bashing The Rock, Jed Schaefer chimed in on the Facebook. Taking overrated in the real definition of good, but not as good as people make him out to be. The Rock. He has never been great in the ring, and the promos became cookie cutter, and most noticeably when he turned face. Don't get me wrong, I love the guy, and his charisma is undeniable, and he did have some great matches. But by and large, he was more sizzle than steak.
Yeah, you see, that's my answer right there.
No, you can't take that answer.
Only because he uses the same vernacular that you like to use, Tim.
Can I help it if I recognize intelligent speech? Exactly. Okay, Omega, you shot on Mace picking Stone Cold Steve Austin. Did you pick anybody? Are you going to?
The other half of Austin. McMahon.
Ooh.
Interesting. Back it up.
Because, okay, Austin... Okay, he's the reason for the Attitude Era. Okay, he's the big star. I think he delivered in everything he needed to, so he's not overrated. However, what he had going for him was that he was up against the boss, and that's why you tuned in. It was okay, Vince can work a mic, but Vince was also booking himself in matches. Vince was booking himself, as we covered on WTR Riffs to be aired shortly, matches to beat up his own children.
Coming tomorrow. We worked that one in there. Not even knowing.
Stone Cold is... Stone Cold is who he is because he beat up the boss. And the only reason you tuned in to watch Vince on Monday Night Raw was because he was the boss that Stone Cold was going to beat up. You know, and that's how it ran for years and years. You know, it's not like a wrestler who put himself against the main guy because he earned the spot. It was the owner of the company writing himself into the storyline. And while the boss makes a good villain, you can't... It's also kind of a cop-out because you don't have anyone truly going against Stone Cold. Like, you break away and have him feud with The Rock. Well, at least part of the corporation, so... Well, and they have break over and, oh, he'll feud with The Undertaker. He's with the corporate ministry. Okay. So, in a way, we're still all just going back to Vince. You know, it just, you know, Stone Cold on his own was fine. He was great. I mean, in his feuds with people who had no connection to Vince, he was still really good. He could get done in the ring, he could get done on mic, he had the personality that drew people in at the time. It was the attitude that resonated with people at the time. Vince just wrote himself in. It was easy to do. It was egotistical to do. Especially when you're booking yourself to be the champion.
Now before Tim goes, I'm going to throw out names that were posted on the Facebook.
Okay.
The New Age Outlaws. The Godfather. Ken Shamrock, Val Venus. One person said Edge was overrated in the Attitude Era, but excelled in the mid-2000s.
Hmm.
We had, let's see, a couple other. We had another X-Pac, a D'Lo Brown, a Triple H, and that China should never hold the IC title.
The problem I have
with that on that one.
No problem I have with that list overall is that these guys were, for the most part, especially during the Attitude Era, they weren't the main players. Most of them. I mean, New Age Outlaws were, but they were still, on the outside of the main. You know what I mean?
But they were all key figures, though. They all had a role.
Well, yeah, they all had a role, but, you talk about someone like, Val Venus is overrated. Godfather was overrated. Why? They never passed the mid card. I mean, they're well remembered because they were, humorous. They're humorous or standout characters. We remember Papa Shango too because he was an over the top character. You'd never call him overrated though.
Yeah. So, you're backing up what I'm saying then, Omega.
Unfortunately.
No.
Like, if you want to look overrated in the mid card, you look at X-Pac. Because overrated for the mid card because he was only in there because he was buddies with Triple H and the Click.
But okay, mine would be The Rock pretty much for what was stated by what's his name Rock on the Facebook.
Jed Schaefer, the host of Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show, Wednesday nights 8:30 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah. So, like The Rock, he's never been great in the ring. He had that spark of the charisma, and he was able to deliver his lines really well and make it sound almost like he was coming up with them off the top of his head completely, as opposed to creative saying, okay, you've got to say this, you got to say that, you got to say that, and you got to get this done, and this is, what you have to wind up doing. One of the most enjoyable things I saw with The Rock was whenever he picked on Kevin Kelly. Really. So. Yeah. And so mine would be The Rock.
So that would be our round table.
I think so.
Now time for buy or sell?
Why don't we put it up for auction and see if we get any bids.
I think we need a little question and answer time.
It's now time for this week's edition of Buy.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Or sell?
No! 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 No!
Buy or sell the idea of TNA splitting the announced duties for Hour 1 and Hour 2 of Impact, Omega.
How did this idea come up?
This past Thursday night, they had two different announced teams, one for Hour 1 and one for Hour 2. Mike TNA and Taz were Hour 2, and you had some guy named Todd and Jeremy Borash in Hour 1.
Sell? I mean, normally I'd be in favor of anything that keeps Taz's commentary limited for the night. But you'd need some consistent voice that people would identify with. I mean, you can't pretend like Hour 1 and Hour 2 are two different shows, two different commentary teams. It's jarring. If you tune in halfway through, if you tune in at the wrong time, you're liable to think they switched to a different show. No. If you want more announcers, run a three-man team. It actually worked fairly well tonight with, Michael Cole going back between face JR and heel JBL.
It did. Mace, buy or sell?
Sell. I remember the days of when they used to do this back on WCW Nitro. Where you would have one announced team for the first hour, and then they switched teams halfway through in the second hour, and then they went to 3 hours, and the entire format went to shit. Like Omega said, it's very jarring, especially with the fact that at the top of the hour, they dedicated a few minutes to the switchover. that they had the guy, all four of them standing there for a moment and, you know, thank you so much and glad handing and, you know, sucking each other's dicks and all that bullshit. It just doesn't work. You know, as wrestling fans, we have become used to either you have a two-man commentary team or you have a three-man commentary team. This was like, even on pay-per-views, you used to get this. WWE did it when the whole brand split was going on, and you had the Raw announced team and the SmackDown announced team. It was jarring. You didn't know, like, half the time if you were watching the same thing. It did not work then, and it won't work now. I can guarantee you this new guy is not going to end up anywhere. Plus, with JB on commentary for the first hour, what happens to the commercial show that they're doing on YouTube?
So, Cal.
Oh, fuck. That hypo bitch for an hour. Oh, good fucking lord. Shoot me now. Sell this in the $2 bin, by the way.
Speaking of the $2 bin, Tim.
Oh, for crying out loud. Smart ass rock. Sell. Makes no sense to do shit like that.
Okay. Up next, buy or sell the idea of The Miz as a lead star in a Christmas movie. Tim.
Sell.
This is actually legit. He's going to be a lead star in a Christmas movie.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't see this. I just cannot see this being a successful movie. A Christmas movie.
A Christmas movie, yeah.
So what's the premise? What's his character? What's he all about? What's his motivation? Can't be the King of the Continental title.
There's the release for you. You can read it yourself.
Oh, there's a release?
Yeah, there was an old press release out about it. You can read it more about it on pwmania.com.
Oh, hey, check it out. ABC Family Partner Holiday Movie starring The Miz. And, of course, nothing's coming up when I click the damn link.
Christmas Bounty is an action film comedy about a former bounty hunter turned elementary school teacher determined to have a normal type, keep a bounty hunter past the secret. Okay, so this is about obviously the lead's going to be a woman. Because we have the word she pop up. But when her fiancé follows her home for the holidays, she struggles to hide her wild family business and a bounty hunter ex-boyfriend. Okay, so I'm guessing the fiancé would probably be Miz, which would be the secondary lead role. If this means that we get... I will... Okay. I will buy this under one condition.
Okay.
I want to see Miz in a hand-sweaten... A hand-sewn Christmas sweater. Bill Cosby style.
With the bunny rabbit in the straight middle.
Yes. If they do that, I will buy this. If not, sell it.
And the sweater has to be red and white knitted.
Black and gray.
Red and white.
Red and green.
Yeah, I'm with them. Red, white, and green.
Yeah.
That works.
Okay, well, all right, we can settle on that one.
All right, Omega.
You know, when I first heard of this, the first thought in my head was, I'd buy him as the Grinch. This just... It reads like Holiday Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah.
Christmas Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, Kindergarten Cop Winter Vacation. It's the made for TV sequel.
Direct to video.
Do we get the Miz saying it's not a tumor?
It's very WWE Studios, where it's like, oh, it's gotta have an action comedy. You know, it's an action comedy. You know, he's ex-military. It's like, oh, every character we do is ex-military. I know. Hasn't it worked in the past? No.
No.
Well, this time it will.
Hasn't.
Okay, I guess ultimately I'm selling this because he's not going to be painted green.
I was originally, before I had my thought about him in a Christmas sweater and laughing my ass off, I was going to sell for the reason it did not work for Goldberg, it won't work for anybody. Or two words, Santa's sleigh.
That movie is hysterical.
Only for the first 8 minutes where you get to see Fran Drescher get killed.
Oh, now that's just enough to make anybody's movie-going experience enjoyable.
Exactly. Goldberg gets to kill Fran Drescher.
Hey, I liked her in UHF.
So that's a buy or sell. It was a slow little bit of news.
So there you go.
Great debate time.
I think we should get into the great debate.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Are you ready?
It's now time for this week's WTR Great Debate.
Are you serious, bro? What?
Join the hosts as they debate the greatest wrestling entrance theme of all time.
I am CM Punk, and I am the voice of the voiceless.
Now step in to the WTR squared circle for this week's great debate.
You didn't say that. Tell me you did not just say that.
Up first, Undertaker versus Undertaker. This is Graveyard.
Undertaker wins. Move on.
That was not the question.
I was waiting for somebody to do it, and I figured the first person you asked was going to say Undertaker wins.
Fuck Fred Durst. Fuck Limp Bizkit.
You go right ahead.
You cannot match the ambiance or the foreboding of the original theme for The Undertaker. Just cannot. It just has too much atmosphere. It adds too much to him. It is... You might as well take off Taker's left arm.
So, one vote for Graveyard. Miss.
Limp Bizkit can keep on rolling out the fucking door. Graveyard.
Lindsay chimes in, of course, with Graveyard. Tim.
Do you have to ask me? Really? Seriously, do you have to?
Up next.
Not really, it's already decided.
Up next, BWO versus the NWO Wolfpack.
Ooh.
see the bad boys arresting. Testing competition when the war does the mission. Not no mercy, see the race on the street. If you don't know, you better find out the war pack. Here to prove a point, number one, disbelieve.
Tim, you're up first.
Why am I up first?
Because you didn't get a vote last time?
Well, I kind of did, but I didn't because I was going to pick Graveyard anyway. So just to make the previous one unanimous, Graveyard, Limp Bizkit just does not fit with Undertaker. And you can't, you know, like Omega said, you just can't match Graveyard. So, yeah, there it is. For this one, I just get this weird feeling that I should pick BW just to piss off Omega. But, no, it's Wolfpack.
Mace.
You know, the BWO sort of reminds me of sort of like a best of music. like it's recapping something really, really well, you know, over the course of many years and took many hours to produce and drove people insane by the voice that would play in between each hearing.
Memories.
Basically, I'm going BWO on this one. It's a lot more of a catchier theme. It encompasses the fun-loving nature of the parody group as opposed to just being, oh my god, a fucking rap song to try and be edgy with all the cool kids, you heard?
Nothing like, you know, Sting trying to act all cool with the Wolfpack theme.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Alright, so Mesa's tied it up 1-1. Lindsay went with BWO. Omega.
This is Omega with the best of 2006. Wait, what?
Flashbacks.
Oh, God. is that what non-flashbacks are like?
What's your
peas? Like a former life flashing before my eyes. That's before I had personality. God.
Before you became a YouTube sensation. Which, by the way, I follow him on YouTube, youtube.com/TGOmega.
You know what? BWO.
Wow.
The song's quirky, it's bouncy, it fits well with the parody. The Wolfpack theme is a lame little rap over a guy hitting the same three keys on a Casio keyboard.
That's so true.
So, the BWO moves on, and Undertaker's Graveyard moves on. Next week in the final matchups of round number two, the Macho Man's Poppin' Circumstance takes on Chris Jericho's Break Down the Walls. And we have Steve Austin's I Won't Do What You Tell Me against Shawn Michaels' theme song.
And with that, don't you think it's time we get to doing it? Shall we do it?
I guess.
All right, let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
So we're going to start with Mace. Who is the scariest wrestler of all the times?
The scariest wrestler of all the times?
Yes, scariest wrestler of all the times.
See, this could be taken in many number of ways. You know, it could be gimmick, it could be the wrestling style, it could be anything. Wow, I'm actually, scariest wrestler of all the times, Sin Cara, because I'm fearing for my fucking life if I was in the ring with him, so I'd be fucking scared out of my brains. That, I'd be worried that he, like, breaks something. Or break mine.
Okay. Tim.
What?
How much would it take for you to get a logo tattooed on your face?
On my face?
On your face.
So, more fuck money than Vince McMahon has.
Because some dude guy was paid $5,000 to put a Romney logo on his face.
He's an idiot, and so is Romney. Yeah. He's an idiot, and so is Mitt Romney.
So there's no amount of money that we can, you know, get up and get a WTR logo tattooed on your face?
You want me to worry about, okay, what part of my face? Where's it going?
Across the forehead.
Across the forehead.
On the forehead. How big is it?
I don't know. Big enough for so people can see Wild Talk Radio.
How much money am I getting paid for this?
Well, we're asking you, how much would it cost?
More than Vince McMahon has.
Say we came up with $500.
I wouldn't even tattoo it on my ass.
You could live for a year on that, though.
I'm not that cheap, motherfucker. Okay, I am, but...
He'd be able to buy a new car.
Hey, I don't need a new car. This one is running like a dream.
Until it gets hit again.
It was an omen. I mean, you had to buy it after it got hit and rear-ended because you know that was never going to happen again.
Right.
Anyway, no, I'm not going to deface my face.
I could make a joke, but I'm not. All right.
Shut up.
Tim, you had a question for Omega? Because I can't remember what you actually said.
I don't remember what I actually said.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, wait a minute. It was about the three divas in the wrestling match tonight, wasn't it?
That's the one, yes.
Yeah, Eve, Layla, or Caitlyn, Omega. Which one of those three would you tap?
See, Eve's the best looking one of the bunch, but God.
What did I say, Rock?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Can I ask Mason?
It wouldn't want to be Eve. I don't want to know what sloppy 40 seconds feels like.
So that's Caitlyn or Layla now.
Layla's probably gonna win here.
Okay.
And no, you can't ask Mace, because that's not his question.
Well, damn, I wanna know who he'd tap anyway.
I'd be tapping Caitlyn.
Ha! Ha!
Tim did call that one. Anyway.
I'm sorry, but Eve, you'd need a paper bag, and Layla, believe me, is somebody who has had to put up with people with British accents in the same country for many, many years.
Yeah.
You'd want to ball gag the bitch pretty quick. Because when they get to screaming, it sounds horrible.
But yeah, when Rock and I were talking about this, I said that you would pick Caitlyn.
Okay, Mace. What would the perfect Halloween costume be for Tim?
For Tim?
Yes.
A competent wrestling promoter.
Why?
Because that would involve him having to go out and buy a $500 suit, which we know he'd never sell out for. It means he'd have to drive around in a new car, not something that's second-hand. And three, he'd actually have to put on wrestling events more than once. Which I'm quite sure he'll rag me out on.
In a few minutes.
Yep.
Anyway, Tim.
What?
If you could dress up as any current day pro wrestler for Halloween, what would it be and why? Who would it be and why, I should say?
Ryback, so I could go door to door and say, feed me more.
Can you pull off the Ryback look?
Only if I finish shaving the rest of my hair off and working out in the gym for about 3 years straight, no breaks.
No, 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 Tim, you go and get the muscle definition suit that the Ultimate Warrior used to have, and you just add a lot of padding.
Add a lot of padding. I don't need a lot of padding.
No, I do. Around the shoulders and neck. That's natural.
Okay, I need padding around the neck.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's...
Since I can do that head bop that he does to his music.
A fucking 2-year-old can do that, Tim.
And that's the point. That's why he's over. So, Omega...
What?
What would the perfect Halloween costume be for Lindsay?
And you can't pick anything that you've got sitting in your cupboard for her.
Yes, that's...
Shit!
Yeah, it's gotta be original!
By the way, she knew this question was coming and she was scared.
Scared. I've got two in mind.
Uh-oh.
Got two in mind. One is She-Ra.
No.
Well. The other is Princess Leia.
You're such a nerd.
you know exactly which Princess Leia I mean, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jedi, yeah. Isn't that, like, every nerd's version of Princess Leia that they want to have their girlfriend dress up as if they had a girlfriend?
No. Because I've seen guys dressed as Sith dragging around about half a dozen of them on chains, and some of them, I swear to God, were underage. That's enough to turn you off the costume.
Either the underage ones or the ones who also could have been Jabba.
Yeah, they're also scary. But mind you, you have to wonder, does she have to use the pickup line, Omega One Kenobi, you're my only hope?
God.
Help me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope.
Anyway, that's quick hits.
She's dressed like that. She can use any damn line she wants.
Hey, there you go. I knew that was coming. So that's quick hits, and that's another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We are sponsored by TweaksAudio.com. Grab a pair, get tweaked. Check out their awesome line of audio earbuds for your music devices. I am actually getting a pair, and I am using the WTR promo code, or Wild Talk Radio, haven't decided which yet, just so I can get the discount deal that they're offering to Wild Talk Radio listeners and radio personalities, show personalities. So, yeah, save a bunch of money. Go to Tweaked Audio and use the promo code WTR or Wild Talk Radio and save a bundle on your next pair of audio earbuds. Don't forget, tomorrow night, right after Raw, 30 minutes after Raw, Hurricane Depending.
We should clarify, Hurricane Depending.
That's what I said, Hurricane Depending. It'll be the Raw Post Show with Sorokin, Lindsay Ward, Mace, you know, whoever else chimes in.
That's usually the cast and crew.
Yeah, pretty much most of them at one point in time or another.
3 hours of Raw, 45 to 50 minutes. It's the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Someone cast on PWMania.com.
Keep going, Tim.
Tuesday, I was about to. Shut up. Tuesday night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with your host, Mace's favorite radio personality, Alan Wojcik. Alan interviews people.
Jerry Lynn is scheduled to be a part of the show. I believe someone else is supposed to be on the show as well. I think Scott Hudson's also on the show. I'm not 100% sure about that one. But I know for sure Jerry Lynn is on the show.
So Heavy Metal Night, Tuesday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, KFA Wrestling Radio, 9 o'clock Eastern. Wednesday,
joined the Cheapwood Paneling for just another goddamn wrestling show. These guys, you know, they're underrated. They need to have more exposure. They do a pretty good job, and the fake Mace is on there.
Maybe. Sometimes they actually get the real one.
Sometimes they get the actual real one.
Well, you know what? Until I actually see a picture of you two fuckers standing side by side somewhere in Australia, I'm just going to say that that's you with the disguised
Tim,
voice.
Tim, you've seen me. I can send you footage of Matthew. There is a big difference between us.
There's a reason why his Twitter handle is called Massive Q.
Okay.
Just saying.
So that's why he emphasized the word big. Yeah, it's just like I couldn't understand that one. Thanks for pointing it out, though, Rocky.
But you should
Thursday
follow...
Night, 11 o'clock Eastern is The Rack with Lindsay Ward. And, yeah, Sir Rockin.
Yes, if you missed our great interviews with the former, at this point, NWA World Champion Adam Pearce or THQ's and WWE Games' Brian Williams, check out the archive at WaltTalkRadio.com. We talked to both gentlemen about WWE 13 and... We talked about Adam Pearce, about his title defense this past weekend in Australia.
And who knows, maybe she'll get like 15,000 downloads by next Sunday.
Who knows?
Just saying.
But yeah, check us out. We are going to talk all things TNA Wrestling Impact this week on the show, plus whatever else we come up with. It's The Rack, Thursdays, 11 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, and of course, Friday night, it's Johnny Cashmere's wake-up call. Independent professional wrestler Johnny Cashmere. Talk some far-out stuff with some far-out people. You've got to tune in and listen to believe it for yourself. Johnny Cashmere's wake-up call, 9 o'clock Eastern, Friday nights. Saturday, midnight, or as close as they can get to it, CB Radio with Rock!
Weird, wacky, unusual, CB Radio. Check it out. Talk about all kind of weird things. Plus, I got news. December 1st, we're promoting Florida Independent Wrestling here on the show. I know it's on Tuesdays, but anyway. Subway returns to the ring December 1st for IPW Hardcore Resurrection. Check it out. A one-night-only reunion show. Check it out December 1st in St. Petersburg, Florida. Find them on Facebook, IPW Hardcore Wrestling.
When was the last time Subway was in the ring?
A few years, but he's making his return for IPW Hardcore Wrestling's Resurrection.
Cool. And, of course, at the regular time next Sunday night, another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio. Our regular time is 10 o'clock Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And next week, we start the new Pick'em. People, get into it. It's a lot of fun. You might win something. You never know. You never know. That being said, we're done. GFTL.
People need to go home. Get off of Google. Just saying.
GFTO, get the fuck out.
Get off of the Google. Go home.
Leave the Google machine alone.
Bye-bye.
Walk away from the buttons. Candyman. Wildtalkradio.com.